We are back at it. Welcome back to another edition of the Pistols Firing Podcast. I'm Carson Cunningham, joined by Augusta National Conqueror, Kyle Porter. What's up, Kyle?
Not much. I'd like to formally apologize for going on a different podcast and sharing more of my experience. It took me a while to process everything, but I think I was able to get it all out there. And I'm settling in from my high of last week at Augusta.
It's okay. I mean, if you should share an entire round, it should probably be with the No Laying Up podcast guys, because they have a wide-reaching range on golf. And but no, I thought you told some great stories here, and it was great.
Good.
Back to reality, though.
Yeah.
Oklahoma State spring football game's coming up on Saturday. We want to talk about that in a little bit, but first, Mason Rudolph, aka the Da Vinci Code, the Mason Code. Was put out on social media. An official Heisman campaign is underway on the week of April. It's April 14th right now. So they're getting started early with this, Kyle.
Yeah, I think it's a good move. And I wrote this today, but I think that, you know, you look back at 2011 and they launched that Whedon to Blackman campaign. And that just it probably was never going to work, just because you're basically encouraging Heisman voters to steal votes from one of your guys, right? Like you can only vote for one guy, and I didn't love that from the outset, but I think this is the right move of promoting Mason. The Heisman's become such a quarterback centric award that for James Washington to win it, he would have to do something just that we've never seen before in college football history. So I like it. I like that they're getting out ahead of it. I thought the video they released was awesome. Are you surprised that he is a – do you know what his odds are?
I don't. Is he like the sixth favorite?
No, he's lower than that, but his odds are 16 to 1. What's your reaction to that? Do you think it's too high, too low, about right?
About right. I mean, because he plays at Oklahoma State. If he was a quarterback at Alabama, I think his odds would be a little higher. I think it'll take – obviously a great season to get him to New York, just because, you know, he plays football at Oklahoma State and team success will have a lot more to do with it, I think.
Yeah.
But I agree with your take on that. You know, the Whedon to Blackman thing was awesome just from a highlights perspective. But you're right. I thought, you know, like at the time I was like, Whedon should be the one they're promoting. But now I go back and I look at the stats, like Justin Blackman's two seasons are in the pantheon of college. Like those are like the two of the best ever in the history of college football, as far as numbers and stats. And you don't know that going in. He's going to put up one of the best seasons to ever be played. But you say that and that they stole votes from each other. But then you look at Baker Mayfield and D.D. Westbrook. They ran a dual campaign for those two guys and they both made it. Now I would argue they both made it because they played on Oklahoma and they, you know, won the Big 12. That had a lot to do with it. But no, I agree. I think they're doing the right thing by promoting Mason first and solo and foremost, because you're right. Like I think quarterback has won it like 9 of the last 10 years or something crazy. I added it up last year when it was Heisman season, but no, I think they're making a great move. And I think OSU's, I think they've jumped up a level social media wise just in the last 6 months, really. Do you agree with that? Like, as far as how they've been promoting Mike Boynton to now this, like all the Gundy stuff obviously is great, but I feel like OSU's done a really good job marketing themselves lately.
Yeah, I agree. They've got obviously really talented people that are doing all that stuff, and it's been impressive what they've done. Do you want to hear the guys that are ahead of Rudolph in terms of Heisman odds?
How many are ahead of him again? I'm sorry.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 guys ahead of him.
Let me guess top down.
Okay.
Sam Darnold from USC.
Yeah, he's number one.
Baker Mayfield.
No, he's not on the list. And
what?
Well, here's the thing. Like, I think he's not on the list because we don't necessarily know if there's going to be a suspension or punishment coming. Is that right? Like, am I correct in saying that?
We don't know, but I can't imagine he would miss more than a half.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I just I
is
think
that why they that might be why he's off the board.
I think that's the reason he's off the board, because
well, he's second or third favorite.
Yeah,
regardless.
Right. And I wrote that. I said that if and when they put Baker up, he'll be ahead of.
I mean, he played in the spring game. I mean,
yeah.
I would be shocked if he was even suspended at this point. They might like take his captaincy away, but I don't know. Maybe they will. I don't know. But gamblers don't take chances, I guess. Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, he's number two.
This is where I'm just not in season. All right, you just read them to me. I'm already going blank.
We've got Bo Scarborough, running back Alabama, Jalen Hurts, JT Barrett. I don't know how to say this guy's name. Saquon Barkley, running back Penn State. Is that how you say it?
Asking me about Big Ten running backs is not a good idea.
By the way, I was watching golf last night, and I was flipping channels, and I came across like this. Apparently, there was like a college football challenge thing at Texas at Jerry World after the regular season, and they had the Iowa quarterback CJ Beathard.
Yeah,
and he could not hit a target. I almost texted you because he was all over the yard, and it's like these stationary targets that are like 15 yards away, maybe not even that much, and he couldn't hit them. It was incredible. I couldn't believe what I was watching. I mean, he's a Division I, you know, Big Ten quarterback. He couldn't hit a you know, a stationary receiver from 15 yards away. It was just really unbelievable.
Well, to be honest, those stationary receivers are faster than what he's used to playing with. So it took him a while to get used to the speed of the game, I think.
The other two ahead of Rudolph are Jake Browning of Washington, whatever.
That's a pretty loaded list. My goodness.
And then your boy, DeAndre Francois of Florida State.
He's ahead of Mason.
Yeah, he's 12. He's 14-1, and then Rudolph, Darius Grice, who's I had never heard that name, running back at LSU, and Nick Chubb, who's been in college since like 2002.
What? He's still there?
Yeah, exactly. Are all six?
No way.
Are all 16-1?
Nick Chubb is still there.
Well, we get Nick Chubb and I think Noshon. Like they're kind of the same person, right? Like just this.
And Todd Gurley. I feel like Gurley and Chubb are the same person.
Yeah, like just these big, bruising athletic Georgia running backs. I mean, they're just all like top 15 draft picks.
Doesn't matter who the coach is.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I think Mason's a little low there. I mean, he's obviously for me ahead of Francois. He didn't put up any numbers. He's a good quarterback, but I do wonder, you know, it's the I think the Big 12 is just so down nationally as far as just perception with the defenses. I do wonder, even if Mason puts up, you know, look at Mahomes, the season he had last year. He wasn't getting any Heisman buzz. I guess team success had a reason to do with that with Mahomes.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I wonder if the Big 12 defenses will hold Mason back in the court of public opinion.
No, I think it's just all dependent on the quarterback for the team that wins the Big 12 is going to be invited to New York.
Yeah.
I think that's a reality. Now, you could argue, I think I saw Texas is like the third favorite in the Big 12, which is funny and weird and whatever.
Every year, man, doesn't matter how bad they are, what coach they have, they get love preseason.
Yeah.
So
maybe not for Buechel, but is Kenny Trill still at TCU?
Yep.
So
he's back.
Him, Baker, Mason, like whoever wins the Big 12, I think that quarterback probably gets invited to New York.
You think Garrett Bushell's on his way to New York?
No. Well, I said besides Texas. I mean, I guess he could. I don't know.
You think Kenny Trill's going to New York?
Maybe.
No,
I mean,
way.
If TCU
no
goes,
way.
If TCU goes 12-0, my argument here is this award is turned into like a positional team award, right? Like it's the quarterback from the Big 12 champ or the running back from the SEC champ.
Jalen Hurts would not be on the list if he wasn't the quarterback at Alabama, stat-wise.
Right. And so what I'm saying is I think that the Big 12 quarterback, Big 12 title-winning quarterback is probably going to go to New York.
No, I think that's accurate.
Yeah.
Accurate.
Accurate.
But what I'm saying is I think it's Mason or Baker. I don't think TCU has a shot. I don't think – and even if TCU were to win the Big 12, I just don't think it would be because of – Kenny Trill or Garrett Bushell. It would be their defenses were light years better than OU or OSU's.
Yeah. Can you believe Mason Rudolph's a senior, by the way? I was thinking about that.
I was thinking about that when that video OSU posted of him, the promotional deal for the Heisman, when they show the clip of him running out against Baylor for his first game.
Yeah. Just it feels like 2 weeks.
Think how long ago that was. It feels like it was, yeah, like last year.
Yeah.
I was at a wedding.
You were in New York, weren't you?
No, that was an Oklahoma City wedding.
Okay.
But I was watching the game like on my phone, like in the reception, just off and on. I can't believe that was, 4 years ago or whatever. So yeah. No, it's crazy.
It really is. Yeah. It's completely wild. It makes me feel,
we're getting old. Dude.
Yeah, I know. I do want to talk to you about, we're about to have a guest on, but let's talk uniforms. Let's get to this week's uniform preview brought to you by Chris's University Spirit, your one-stop cowboy shop on Campus Corner. And be sure to shop online at chrisuniversityspirit.com. We got the spring game on Saturday. We're taping this on Friday. So kind of some fun for people who maybe haven't been paying attention. Maybe people like you and I who haven't been as locked into Oklahoma State football as we are during the regular season.
Is Ricky Fowler playing in the spring game?
I don't think so.
That's all I've been
so.
Paying attention to.
Yeah, I don't think so. But we're going to talk to John Helsley about that in a minute. But what do you want to see out of the unis in the spring game? Is there anything in particular, or are you just what's your thoughts on the spring game uniforms?
I mean, don't they wear like not practice uniforms, but the old ones, like from 2011, like the pants? Is that right?
No, I think that they will go regular unis.
Really?
I mean, the promotion was orange versus black on Twitter. Ooh. Like the orange unis versus the black unis. So I don't know if they go all orange versus all black. That'd be kind of cool. But yeah, I think they wore the old ones last year because they hadn't come out with the new ones yet.
Oh, so maybe they can go full uni.
Yeah.
I would like that. I would like to see Kyle. Do you have a pick?
Well, I kind of want to see like white pants for both teams and then black tops for one and orange tops for the other.
Just keep it pretty,
yeah,
pretty simple.
And whoever wears the black top, wear a black helmet, and whoever wears the orange top, wear either the orange helmet or white helmet.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't want to see, both teams going tricolor. That would just be a little confusing. It'd be confusing probably to the eye.
Yeah. Yeah. I think orange helmet, orange top, black helmet, black top would be pretty cool. And I want to see Mason in fluorescent green or yellow, something that you can see from Mars. If Elon Musk is up there right now, I want him to be able to see Mason Rudolph from Mars.
I want him to be wrapped in bubble wrap from now until September 4th or whenever the season opener is. Just wheel him around. Like, I want him to be like Bubble Boy, just in a bubble where no one can even like get to him.
Gundy won't let him go back home for summer vacation.
Yeah. I guess because if he gets hurt, it's the Oil Baron and Wood T and our man,
Jelani.
The 6'7" Jelani. Put him in the Hall of Fame already, Woods.
You know the offensive line transfer that Oklahoma State got from Cal this week?
Yeah.
6'8", 350. He's probably going to start at left tackle.
That's as big as you can possibly be, I think.
And he's like, he's only slightly bigger than Jelani.
Height-wise, obviously.
Yes, yeah.
But I think Phil Loadholt, he was at OU. He was 6'8", 350 as well. And I think he was like immediately the biggest offensive tackle in the NFL once he graduated.
It's insane.
That's as huge as you can get. They have the mountain at left tackle, which you don't understand that reference.
Is that a wrestling deal?
That's Game of Thrones.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
They.
I guess I'm just going to ridicule you now once a podcast for not watching TV.
You should. But I am. I mean, I'm doing something. I'm doing something. Good with my. I'm reading books. I'm playing with kids. Took my kids golfing to play golf yesterday.
How'd that go?
It wasn't that fun. It wasn't as fun as it was in my head.
You got to go driving range, right?
Yeah. Or, well, my issue is that we walked, and so they're kind of just whining the whole time and
wandering off.
Yeah, they're like anything but golf. Making sandcastles. I'm like, geez, I got to rank all these bunkers and. Yeah, it wasn't.
Yeah, that was aggressive to play around. I think I would have just taken him to the range.
Well, we played 7 holes, so. Okay. Yeah, we need to. You want to get to our guest?
Do it.
It's time for the Coop Ale Works Guest of the Week. Coop Ale Works bring great tasting craft beer in Oklahoma City. Try the flagship F5 IPA, the bold DNR Belgian Strong Ale, or the refreshing Horny Toad Blonde. For your next watch party, tailgate, or get together with friends, enjoy a cold Coop Ale Works. And please remember to drink responsibly. We are going to call John Helsley of the Oklahoman, covers Oklahoma State basketball, Oklahoma State football. I don't think we've ever had him on, Carson.
I don't think so either. It's shocking, actually.
I know. I was thinking about that today as I was getting his number, and
he's probably like, "What the hell, guys?"
Yeah, I know. He's how many times are you gonna have Mark Cooper on and not me?
Right.
So let's give him a call.
This is John.
John Helsley, Kyle Porter, and Carson Cunningham here.
Greetings, fellas.
How are we doing?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
We're good. Are you ready for the spring game on Saturday?
I guess I better be, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't get overly fired up for spring games because they seem to be sort of dumbed down versions of real football. I've seen a couple of the scrimmages, which I think I've gained a little bit of pretty decent insight from those. And I'm not quite sure what I'm going to see tomorrow. I know that they just released the rosters, and I'm not sure I want to be the quarterback for either team because, one, they're splitting up the offensive linemen, and Zach Crabtree is not going to play. So, and Larry Williams is not going to play. So I'm sure there'll be a lot of quick whistles for the guys in green jerseys tomorrow.
Yeah, they used to, like, I feel like the last year or 2 years, whenever Gundy was in his temper tantrum state, they did like a practice, basically. It wasn't even a game. But this release they just sent out says normal game, normal scoring rules, but the quarters will be 10 minutes long. So it sounds like we're going to get an actual football game, which I think is pretty refreshing.
That is refreshing, and hopefully it'll be more fun. You know, it was so hard to even keep up with what was going on a couple of those years you mentioned. You know, they would just run guys out there randomly, it seemed like, and they'd run some plays, and next thing you know, the thing was over. So, right. Yeah, a real football game, sort of a setup of, you know, quarters and drives and that sort of thing. I think that's going to be much more appealing to fans, and you know, I don't doubt that at some point we'll have a running clock, which everybody will probably be ready for that as well.
John, what just in being there for the practices and scrimmages and stuff, what is the number one position that you'll be looking at on Saturday to see how different guys perform?
I think it's got to be cornerback, just because there's so many questions there. I know they're very excited about, you know, some of the kids back there, but you know, Rodarius Williams, you know, Madre Harper, AJ Green, those guys have all played pretty well at times during the spring, and you know, they give up some plays, which is what would be expected. It's a critical spot in the Big 12. You've got to be good there, and there's just so many unknowns. And obviously, they're going to get a break with the transfer, which is going to be a huge addition, you would think, whether he's a starter, which you would think he would be, or you know, a guy that just plays a lot. That's going to help having a guy that's experienced back there and has been in a lot of big games. But these kids are going to play a lot too. So it'd be interesting to see the development there and, you know, to see how far they've come along.
Mike Gundy has to be just hugely excited to get the cornerback transfer from Clemson you mentioned and Cochran, the offensive lineman from Cal. Just was Mike Gundy beaming when he discussed those two guys, or have you talked to him about those guys yet?
A little bit. You know, until they actually sign, he's still, you know, prohibited from actually speaking about them. So I don't know that they have their signatures yet. They could have signed yesterday. You know, that would have been when the opportunity for that. I know Oklahoma got their guy the receiver from Kentucky, he signed, so I would expect OSU will be getting signatures from their two guys as well. But what a great 24-hour period it was, in that two of the main, you know, issues, concerns on this team, left tackle and cornerback, got big gets there in the span of about 24 hours. It was a potential game changer, you know, because you've got to have a left tackle. And they were really, I think, searching a little bit in the spring. They had Zach Crabtree over there for a time. They had Shane Richards and Dylan Galloway, who's a redshirt freshman, over at left tackle at times, and which tells you they're not just sold on one of those guys for the spot. And so I think this really solidifies things. It allows Galloway to sort of, you know, just ease into becoming a lineman. I think they really like him. They think he'll be a big-time offensive lineman for a long time to come. And that's a very encouraging, because it's a veteran group they've got. But, you know, you hate to rush him in there, especially in this conference. And I think they like what they've seen from Shane Richards, who was a transfer guy a year ago. So if he can, you know, give them some good backup, and Galloway can be a solid backup, I think the offensive line takes on a new look and a new feel.
Yeah, I agree. And you keep from reshuffling the whole thing, which is what you don't want to do. John, you've been around Mike Gundy and just Oklahoma State generally for a while. Where would you place his comfort level in terms of being confident about the season going into 2017? It seems from afar that he is just so loose and so candid, and to me that feels like he's super confident. But just being around him, how confident, how loose is he, and how does it compare to maybe like back in 2011?
Yeah, Kyle, you're onto something there, because he's not a great poker player in terms of this. There have been years where he was extremely tight. Opener against Georgia, Florida State, he was a little uneasy, didn't know exactly what he had those years. I think he was somewhat confident that year that Georgia came to Stillwater, but they had a lot of injuries in the preseason, and I think it was wearing on him a little bit. He's very loose, as you say. He's having a lot of fun, joking around a lot, you know, opening himself up to more media opportunities, that sort of thing, which I think bodes well. I think he's got a lot of confidence in this team. There's some obvious question marks on defense, things that have to take place, but I think they feel like they're very athletic in a lot of those spots and are going to be good eventually at linebacker, say, and corner. And so I think he does. I think he feels really good about this team, which bodes well. Everybody's talking about 2011 and, you know, how this team sort of resembles that team, and it does in so many ways. And so that hints at a special season if all of that is true.
What's been the biggest buzz so far, John, spring? Is it Tyron Johnson? Is it Jelani Woods? What's the big buzz in spring as far as players go?
Yeah, I think it's definitely Tyron Johnson. You know, he makes a play, and I mean a crazy play, in just about every practice and scrimmage. And he's a special talent. I told somebody the other day, he might be as good as James. And I mean, I don't say that lightly, because James Washington is big time, but he might be as good as James. Think about this. I had a conversation the other day with some folks. OSU legitimately has as many as five guys that could be number one wide receivers on many teams, starting with, say, James and Tyron Johnson, Marcel Aitman, Jalen McCleskey. Who wouldn't want Chris Lacy after what he did last year?
Yeah.
You put him on half. You give half the teams in the Big 12 an option to grab one of those, and if they had to put him at number one receiver, and I think they might do it.
What do you foresee?
That's crazy, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's stunning. Really, that's stunning.
They could be that loaded at that position, but they are. And, you know, they were really good at that position last year. But Aitman coming back and Tyron Johnson, we haven't even talked about any of these freshmen, you know, that are coming, and the redshirt yeah. freshmen that are on campus. And I know they like some of those guys. Tyrell Alexander got a lot of run this spring. And so Dylan Stoner, I mean, what a position these guys have. And I think that helps as well. And this was maybe more of a factor before they got the tackle transfer, but if they had to, they could have just spread things out, you know, Texas Tech style, and just winged it around if they felt like they had issues on the offensive line. But, you know, it's going to be fun to watch. And it's going to be fun to watch to see how defenses now approach them. Because last year you saw a lot of, you know, safeties over the top on James Washington and special attention on him. I don't know that you can do that with this team anymore.
This is why there needs to be trades in NCAA athletics. I'm a proponent of being able to trade. John, Mason Rudolph, obviously, Carson and I were just talking about how crazy it is that he's already a senior. But what do you think is the most difficult thing for him right now in terms of keeping his head down and taking it day to day, just because there's so much at stake with potential Heisman, potential, you know, Big 12 contender, potential national championship? How have you seen his progression, and how difficult is it for him to keep his head down right now?
I don't think that's a big issue for Mason. I see him as a very stable, you know, even when he first arrived and was able to talk to us, he's been very mature, you know, for a kid his age. And we've seen some of the things he's done off the field and in the off seasons, the trips he's taken and what he's done with that time. So I don't think that's a big issue for him. He's, in a lot of ways, he's a very humble kid. He's confident, but, you know, he never talks the big game, if you would. I don't think those things are an issue for Mason. I just don't. I think probably he looked at his grades from the NFL, saw that they were a little bit across, you know, all across the board there. He got some high grades and some, you know, not so high grades. And I think he's focused on improving himself and working on the things that maybe he knows that he's going to have to fix with those scouts to put himself in the NFL and get himself into a good draft spot next year. And I see him as a guy that'll go to work on those things. And I don't see really any issues with him.
Well, OSU's already starting the Heisman campaign. John, what'd you make of their Da Vinci Code-like Heisman reveal the other day?
It was kind of fun. I'm glad that that somebody else figured it out before I had to get on there and try to do the work. But you know what? And it's good to see, because, you know, he's going to have, you would think, a seriously big year. And why not start the train now? Make sure you get him out there on par with some of these other guys, you know, Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield and those guys. His numbers are going to be every bit as good as those guys, if not better. And, you know, he can win that thing if one, he has the kind of year we think he will, and they win a lot of games, which they should. He should be right there in the mix. So, yeah, let's I think that was a good move. Get it started now and continue to push that message and try and get him out there in front of people.
Carson, have you figured out the code yet?
Oh, I'm like John. I waited till someone else cracked it, and I just read it to myself.
John, you also obviously cover Oklahoma State basketball. It's kind of you're the primary beat writer for the Oklahoman for Oklahoma State basketball. I wanted to ask you just real quick about the progression of Mike Boynton from day one when he was hired until now. Do you think that what he's done so far has been kind of what you would expect? Do you think he's kind of overachieved a little bit? I know not a lot has taken place, but you're privy to some of the inner workings and stuff that goes on. Are you impressed with him so far? Just what are your initial thoughts on his first however many weeks, 3 or 4 weeks as the head coach?
I am impressed with him, and I'll say this, haven't got to talk to him or see him much since he was hired, because it's been such a rapid and crazy recruiting period right here. They haven't even been in Stillwater very much. He's been really active, him and Lamont Evans, both of those guys, and John Cooper too, that, you know, once he's been hired, he jumped on the trail with those guys. So they're really out there trying to work the recruiting lanes, and they need to kind of reestablish themselves and what the program's all about and where it's headed. But, you know, they officially announced him on a Friday, and Saturday morning they had a few of us up there for a sit down with him. And, you know, wasn't really sure what that was going to be like, because you got to know Mike Boynton a little bit last year, but mostly just in a, hey, how's it going, sitting around practice a little bit, joking sort of, you know, situation. But I didn't really feel like I got a real feel for him. And he was outstanding that Saturday morning. I mean, he's funny. He's a great storyteller. You know, he told us great stories of growing up in Brooklyn and different coaches that he's been with. He was very engaging, and obviously, as we saw when he was officially announced and at the press conference, he's very sharp. And so I was impressed in that regard, and I could see how he would do well in an interview. I thought it was vital that they kept Lamont. I mean, he's an excellent recruiter. He's got ties overseas, having played there 6 years. And, you know, he's that guy that plays really strong in just about every living room, and you need that guy on staff. So I thought that was very important. Obviously, he needed a guy that had been a head coach, I thought, on this staff. He mentioned that. So he's got that now, and who knows what fruits that might bring if they get a transfer to out of those Miami of Ohio connections. So, yeah, I've been impressed, you know. Immediately they locked up Zach Dawson, which was, I think, of all the recruits they had signed, he was the guy they had to hang on to. I see him being the starting point guard next year. That's taken place, and now there's a little bit of uncertainty on what comes next. I know they're really looking hard at some grad transfers, and it's going to be interesting to see what else they do here in the next few weeks here, because there's still some really good players out there. I expect them to get a grad transfer or two. And then we'll start to have an idea maybe of what this roster is really going to look like.
Yeah, it's going to be fun watching Boynton and Lamont Evans on the recruiting trail, see what kind of athletes they bring in over the next few years. Okay, John, last question. We'll get you out on this one. Your colleague Barry Trammell wrote a really good story about Mike Gundy and his contract status, and had some just enlightening quotes from Mike on what he kind of wants in a new contract and everything. Just, if you had to predict, do you think they get that thing hammered out before the season, or do you think this thing lingers on throughout the year?
That's a great question, because I don't know. I have a good answer for you. I can't believe it's gone this long. You know, I mean, there was word a year ago that there was an agreement, and clearly that was not accurate. I know it's very complicated. Okay, it's not as simple as, you know, this is sort of what we're going to do and just sign off on it. I think Mike is, as much as anything, and I've had some conversations, backdoor conversations with him in regard to this, but I just feel like he wants some strong support from somewhere. Okay, so when Boone Pickens pops off at his annual pregame state of the state address, if you would.
Yeah.
When he goes on a podcast in Austin, Texas, he'd like somebody at OSU, the president, the athletic director, somebody to step up and sort of give him some public backing, right? That's been totally absent. You never hear really anybody publicly say, hey, Mike Gundy's doing a really good job. When's the last time we heard that from anyone in an official capacity at OSU? All that really gets said, and I think we can say Boone Pickens is in an official capacity at OSU, whether he is or isn't, because he's a big figure within the university. The only thing we've heard for almost 2 years now is what Boone Pickens has to say about Mike Gundy. And I think that's bothered Mike. And, you know, he loves this job. He loves being in Stillwater. Both sets of grandparents are still in Oklahoma. I think it's the place he wants to be in. I think he's shown that in a lot of ways. He feels like there's some things that the program needs to, you know, as he mentioned in that story with Barry, get him to the middle of the Big 12 in recruiting budget and assistant coaching salaries so that they don't have to worry about losing guys. I think those are all reasonable. And I don't think that the contract that's been put before him, and I think that's pretty much how it's taken place, is they laid a contract before him. There weren't really any negotiation that went on. It's like, here's your new contract, sign it if you like to. And Mike Gundy said, you know what, there's really not enough in there. I don't think I like to. Mm-hmm. And so here it sits. And so maybe until they start to bump up those assistant coaching salaries, you know, help him out in his recruiting budget, whatever that is, I don't know that he's going to be in a hurry to sign it, because it doesn't benefit him or the program in his viewpoint.
Yeah, that's good insight. That's really interesting. And I think you're right about just having a voice that he feels like is speaking positively about him. So anyway, John, we appreciate your time, and hope you enjoy the spring game. Look for the number 2 jersey, the fluorescent green jersey that you'll be able to see from outer space. make sure nothing happens to him. And, enjoy your Saturday in Stillwater.
Hey, thank you, guys. Enjoy. I'm a fan of the podcast, so feel privileged that I've now made my first appearance.
Sorry it took so long, John.
That's we'll okay. Have you on again. You've had a great run of guests. All right.
Thanks.
Good.
Thanks, John.
See you guys.
Okay. Before we talk about that, what kind of coupe do you think Mr. Helsley drinks?
Oh, we should have asked. We could have asked him. I bet John likes a nice – I bet he likes the IPA, the F5.
Really?
I see him settling on that one.
Yeah. I think he might be a native amber.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
I think we underplay the F5. Like, the popularity of the F5 is, like, immense. It is probably their most popular beer.
I got a text from my one of my college roommates the other day that said, hey, I just tried Coupe the other day, so apparently your marketing is working. And I said, well, don't tell me that. Tell them. You know, email them.
I was at an establishment yesterday to watch Manchester United with some friends. And they gave me a bunch of options. And I said, Coupe Elevator. Bring it to me now. I'm a company man.
And could you send one to my friend Mike Gundy over in Stillwater?
Yeah. I almost just said Vader and like I just expected them to know what I was talking about, but I did say the proper name. So
we got
that done.
That's good. What did you actually, before we wrap up, let's hear one more time from our sponsor, Chris's University Spirit. Chris's University Spirit on Campus Corner in Stillwater, Oklahoma is proud to be your one-stop cowboy shop since 1986 and proud sponsor of this podcast, Pistols Firing. They specialize in custom-printed Oklahoma State apparel and merchandise and pride themselves on their excellent customer service. They also offer a full line of custom Greek apparel and can even outfit your Little League team head-to-toe. They're located at the corner of 3rd and Knobloch on historic Campus Corner. You can follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and be sure to shop online at chrisuniversityspirit.com. Shop Stilly, shop Chris's University Spirit. Okay, Carson, I wanted to ask you about, I thought everything that John said was good, but I was especially intrigued by just what he said about Mike Gundy at the very end. Did any of that surprise you? Or don't you feel like he's right about the not getting public support from the administration?
Absolutely. I mean, when Boone drops those bombshells via the podcast with Kurt Bowles in Austin, Texas, and just his annual State of the Union that he gives at the first game, when he drops those, it's incumbent on Mike Holder to say something publicly, or Burns Hargis, or someone within the athletic department. And I, because Mike can't get up there and start feuding publicly with Boone Pickens, he can't say anything. So yeah, I totally agree with that. I think that could have been handled much better. Now it's Boone. Boone can say and do whatever he wants because he, you know, he's got a lot of money, I assume, in his will towards Oklahoma State, and everyone's afraid of upsetting him. But no, I totally get where Mike's coming from on that. And I thought I was having just Brad Underwood flashbacks on the quotes and that John referenced about being middle of the pack in the Big 12.
Mm.
Like, get it done, Mike Holder. Like, do you want to be competitive in football too? I'm just flabbergasted that, he hasn't taken care of Mike Gundy considering the job he's done. And now I think, Kyle, I think we're starting to see why Mike Gundy's name gets put out there for other jobs, why he flirts with other schools. That's really his only recourse at all when they just stick a contract in front of him and don't negotiate. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
I think it's becoming more and more apparent why things are the way they are. I thought Mike had some just enlightening quotes in that story from Barry Trammell. I encourage everyone to read it. Just he was very honest about what he wants. He wants, you know, to be competitive financially with recruiting, coaches' salaries, everything John referenced. So if Mike Holder screws this up, he won't be allowed back in Stillwater. So I would assume they get something done at some point.
Isn't that crazy, like how much of his legacy rests on just what happens with a man who wears a mullet and hunts rattlesnakes? I mean, it's
yes,
it's. I mean, we joke about it, but like, and
he's a total wild card.
I do think it's interesting because, you know, I think the reality here is Oklahoma State is closer as a athletic department and a school and an organization and all the different things that we talk about to like a Kansas State than it is to an OU. And yet I think OSU fans want Oklahoma State to operate like an OU. And financially, that's not necessarily a reality. And so you're left with this kind of juxtaposition of like, well, we want to be OU, but we're built more like Kansas State. And I don't know. Do you feel like that's a legitimate thing, or I mean, I know the athletic department generated $93-94 million, but they're not making, you know, the profit is not like monstrous like it is at a Texas or an OU. You don't have the third party revenue or the third tier revenue like you do at a Texas or an OU, and yet we want, it seems like everybody wants Oklahoma State to operate like a Texas or OU, when that's just not, it's not as feasible, I think, as some people think that it is.
No, I think that's become, throughout the Brad Underwood dealings and in the aftermath, I think that's the biggest takeaway about Oklahoma State as an organization is, yeah, they're definitely more middle of the pack to lower tier as far as, you know, just budget goes. And I think that hamstrings Mike Holder. I do understand that from Mike Holder's perspective. But at the same time, if you're not successful at football, just think how much money you're not going to be making. So I think you got to, yeah, you got to do everything in your power to stay competitive.
I mean,
I think that's Mike Gundy's biggest concern. But I do agree with you that it's become a cold reality for folks to realize, like, wait a second, OSU is not this just. I know they had Boone Pickens donate money for a stadium, but they're not close revenue wise to a Texas or Oklahoma.
Well, and that's just it, right? Like their one time gift, the one time or the however many times he's given, it's been more than once. The one-time donor gives as if Oklahoma State is a Texas or OU. So you get this gift and you're like, oh, wait, we're top 10. We're top 15 in the country. And yet your fiscal reality, your day-to-day reality, your year-to-year reality is that money from that one-time donor is not coming in. You got to make your profit. You got to make your revenue elsewhere. And that's not in the league of a Texas or OU. So I think when you kind of push those two things together, it creates this weird high expectations but lower reality than most people would like to admit.
Yeah, and I think that's just a reality people have to accept. Like they're not going to pay Mike Gundy like $7 million and just call it good, you know.
But to your point, like, I mean, think about how much money they might not make with Mike Boynton as the head basketball coach. That was a real thing with Travis Ford and why he got fired.
Yeah. And that was my biggest concern with the hire. It's like, okay, like we don't know if he can coach. We don't know if Gottlieb can coach, but I feel like the excitement and revenue would have been like, I think Gallagher Iba would have been sold out at Mike Gundy's or at Doug Gottlieb's introductory press conference. But back to the fiscal stuff, I do think you mentioned it. Like, I think people from afar just think OSU is just flush with cash and money just because of the Boone Pickens.
Right. And that's not real.
No. So,
yeah.
But other things he said too, Kyle, like the Tyron Johnson hype is real. I mean, he just said he's as good as James Washington. And he's not the first person to say that we've talked to.
Kyle Boone.
That's stunning.
Kyle Boone has kind of been low key, like promoting Tyron Johnson as the best receiver at Oklahoma State for like 3 or 4 months now. And
isn't that astonishing considering what Washington's proven on the field?
Yeah. But I mean, it adds up. Like if you're shining at LSU, which likes to throw the football about as much as like 1940s Army, then you know, that's you're legit. And if you got somebody like Mason Rudolph throwing to you and throwing it a lot, then I don't know, man. I'm if they don't go five wide multiple times early in the year, then there's going to be some Mike Yurcich hate mail. Not that there's not already, but even more so than usual.
Do you know how many receptions and yards Tyron Johnson has in his career?
It's probably like 20 for 400 with like two touchdowns.
9 catches, 150 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
In 4 games.
150 yards. And he's better than James. I mean, I believe John. Like I'm not disputing it.
No. I think he's a freak. Like we know, I'm just saying, like, people are going to look at his stats, and you said he was shining at LSU. He hasn't really shined yet. I mean, he had two good games, I guess.
Yeah.
But no, I do think the hype is real. I do believe John, and I do believe Kyle Boone. Like, this guy is a different level of athlete that OSU typically recruit. He's on the – I don't want to get too hyperbolic here, but he is of
don't
the –
Don't say it. Don't say it. You're going to say Dez. Dez. Yeah.
Still, as far as athletes go. I'm not saying he's as good a wide receiver as Dez Bryant. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying he is that caliber of a athlete, recruit, ergo, vis-a-vis, whatever. That's what he is.
Where are you going to be at when Jelani Woods is throwing 30-yard outs to Tyron Johnson on Saturday?
I am going to be doubled over in my seat in Boone Pickens Stadium. I'm going to be in Houston this weekend for the NBA playoffs, but I'll be watching, and I will be just – I'll be texting you frantically, like, how do they get Jelani some reps over Mason in Bedlam? Like, can they do the Walsh package with just 6'7" Cam Newton, aka Jelani Woods?
Yeah, that's how many years does
Jelani... I'm already out of control, Jelani Woods. It's already just
you are.
He's redshirting, he's not going to play, but I'm already just all in.
How many years does Tyron Johnson have left? Is it two or three?
Well, he hasn't played other than his freshman season at LSU, so I would assume
three. So he transferred. Yeah, I think it is three. Whew.
We don't expect him to play for 3 years, though, right?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
if he's a cross between Dez and James Washington, he might he might not be there very long. Or what did I say? What did I call him when I was interviewing? We were interviewing someone on the podcast. I said I've. The rumors and the hype.
Jerry Rice.
Jerry Rice and Odell Beckham.
Yeah, I think you told Jordan Stearns that, and he laughed at you.
Yeah, but well, I was making a joke about just the hype surrounding the guy, which obviously there's legitimate case for it. I'm just saying it's reached epic proportions already, and we're only in April.
Yeah, I mean, whew, I'm ready for... You know,
fanning yourself in the shed right now?
Yeah, the shed's getting a little toasty in here. But no, it's funny because football is not for, 3-4 months away. And it's going to be a long wait. Masters is over. Spring ball is almost behind us. But it'll be, good downtime, good vacation time. But I always love college football starting again in the fall. It's always a blast.
It is, but it feels like it takes forever to get there.
Yeah, it does. Well, the NBA playoffs will last until then, so you'll have work to do.
Yeah, I think Thunder going to the NBA Finals, right? So I'm going to be busy till like June.
How good would that be?
That's not happening, but...
Well, I know, but...
No, the NBA playoffs are fun. I hate how they drag them out. It's like the Thunder play on Sunday, and they don't play again until Wednesday.
Yeah.
So I'm hanging out in Houston like for a week when they play two games.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not
like, the. I don't mean to be complaining, but
no, that's not the place that you want to be hanging out either. Okay, let's wrap it there. Enjoy your weekend in Houston, Carson, and we will be back at it next week to talk about Tyron Johnson having 15 catches in the spring game. I'm sure.
What's he number 13? I'm sure the number 13 will already be emblazoned on the stadium somewhere by the time I get up there for a game. The jersey will already be retired before he steps on the field. They have to unretire his number so he can wear it on the first game.
Okay, thanks again to John Helsley for coming on, and we'll talk to you later, Carson.
All right, man. See ya.
See ya.